makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you The Charlie McCarthy Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Don Ameche.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Don Ameche inviting you to join us here where we're entertaining an audience of several thousand members of the United States Army Air Force at Luke Army Airfield. Our guest this evening is the glamorous and talented Miss Lynn Perry. And, of course, our regular group is, as always, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Joan Merrill, Ken Carpenter, Effie Clinker, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
Well, John, I've never seen so much blue sky and so much sun.
Well, Charlie, here in the Valley of the Sun, they have a son to be proud of.
Yeah, and the daughters ain't so bad either.
Oh, is that why you're wearing cowboy boots and frontier breeches?
Well, that's the way they folks they dress out here, Joan. Why, they even put spurs on when they pitch horseshoes.
Yeah, but you better take them off when you go jitterbugging.
Yeah.
Those spurs, you know?
I don't know what the point is. Say, how would you like to hear me sing an old roundup song?
Well, how would you like to listen to Joan Merrill singing Sentimental Journey?
Well, I reckons it's ladies first, I reckons.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, I got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for heaven. Counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take this sentimental journey, sentimental journey home. Sentimental journey home. Sentimental journey home. Sentimental journey home.
Mr. Bergen?
Yes, Charlie.
How things been going with you lately, old boy?
Well, quite well, Charlie.
That's splendid. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes. Except I haven't seen much of you since you received that $500 reward money.
Oh, yes, that's quite true, yes. Yes, we've sort of been drifting apart, haven't we?
Yes. Yes, Charlie, and if you ever get too far away from me, I don't know what I would do.
Hmm? Brother, you ain't kidding about that.
Well,
I want to tell you, though, Bergen, that being in the dough, it ain't what it's cracked up to be.
Oh, it's not?
No.
You mean that you're not happier with money?
No, I'm not.
I see.
I guess I'm just a bum at heart.
I see.
I like the simple joys of life, such as skipping school and getting into trouble.
Yeah. Well, you've done plenty of that.
Yes, I have.
But we have had a lot of fun together.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember how you used to come to me and beg me to tell you a story?
Yeah. Yeah, I still like them, too.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Charlie.
Yeah.
I want to tell you one now.
Good.
I want to tell you that immortal story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you know why? Do you know why the little girl was called Little Red Riding Hood?
Because she wore black shoes?
No.
Isn't that silly?
No, her grandmother gave her a little short red velvet cloak.
Yeah?
And she liked it so well, she would never wear anything else.
Wasn't that kind of drafty?
Well, no. Now, one day her mother said, Red Riding Hood, your grandmother isn't feeling well, and I want you to take her this cake and this bottle of wine.
And don't forget to pick up the empties.
No, now, please. So Red Riding Hood said, Yes, Mother, I will go to Grandmother's.
Or better still, let's all go to Grandmother's.
Yes. So you see, poor old Grandmother, she was very sick and very weak.
Yeah? I bet she wasn't too weak to pull a cork with her teeth.
Well, now. Soon Red Riding Hood was on her way. It was a long walk because her grandmother lived in the deep forest, far from the village.
She was hiding out from the cops.
No.
Why did she live in the forest?
I don't know why.
You don't know?
No.
Well, you don't know?
No.
Isn't that a kind of sloppy lack of research there, ain't it, bud?
Well, to get on with the story, Little Red Riding Hood was walking along through the woods when she met a wolf.
Anyone we know?
No. No, this was a very crafty and a very dangerous wolf.
Well, she shouldn't have gone by the way of Luke Field.
Oh. And the wolf approached Red Riding Hood and said, where are you going, little one?
That's a very corny approach, all right. Now, when I meet a babe, I just whistle and say, all right, please, Charlie.
Do you want to ruin this story?
No, you're doing pretty well yourself.
Red Riding Hood told the wolf she was on her way to her grandmother's house, and the wolf asked, where does your grandmother live?
Don't tell her, Red. Don't tell her.
All right.
You'll be sorry.
All right, but Red Riding Hood did tell the wolf, and the wicked creature took a shortcut through the woods and arriving at grandmother's house first.
Yeah? I knew that old wolf was up to no good. I just knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could only do something. Just sit here helplessly. I shall go mad, I tell you, mad.
Oh. All right. When the wolf came to the house, he knocked and he shouted, open the door or I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down.
Has grandmother moved in with the three little pigs?
No. Maybe I'm a little confused.
Maybe. Get it right, chum. Get it right.
All right. Oh, yes. The wolf rushed in then and ate up the grandmother.
That reminds me, what time is chow around here? Oh.
You see, he swallowed the grandmother whole.
That's awful manners, yours. You should never gulp your food, all right?
Yes. The wolf put on grandma's long nightgown and her nightcap.
Like the one you wear?
Oh, not me. Now, and he got into the bed, and he was hoping that he would fool Little Red Riding Hood.
Well, the cad. Boo!
All right.
I hate him, Eric.
And poor Little Red Riding Hood walked in, and the wolf sprang out of the bed and ate her right down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Eat a Little Red Riding Hood.
That's right.
Where are the MPs?
All right.
There is no excuse for that sort of thing.
All right. But fortunately, some hunters came by just then, and they slid open the wolf, and out jumped Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother safe and sound.
Mr. Birkin, don't you know any better than to tell a child of my tender age such blood-curdling stories?
What do you mean?
Don't you know the danger of a fear complex?
A what? Fear complex?
Haven't you read Freud, The Adolescent Neurosis?
No, I haven't.
Or Dr. Mitchell's Conquest of Fear?
No.
Or Dr. Kartoffel's Parents Should Not Be Forgiven?
No, but I intend to.
Well, that's a poor excuse. You have failed as a parent.
Yeah.
I have no more time. I must finish another book.
Oh, I see. And what are you reading now?
Frankenstein and the Seven Zombies. Oh, I see.
Just eating to live would get pretty monotonous, and so we've made mealtime a pleasure that reaches a grand climax in Chasen Sanborn coffee. Yes, the extra flavor of Chasen Sanborn coffee has been adding to our table pleasures for 81 years, and in the past year, more people enjoyed Chasen Sanborn than ever before in our history. There's a nationwide swing to this richer blend with its overwhelming abundance of flavor. That margin of extra goodness, far above what you'd normally expect in coffee, brings this superb blend its double popularity with other food and by itself. That's the remarkable, memorable feature of Chasen Sanborn coffee. Delicious as it is with all other food flavors, on its own, it's even better. In the second cup or between meals, when you want coffee for coffee's sake, Chasen Sanborn makes the occasion. Yet, rich as it is, it doesn't weigh any more than any other coffee. So make the most of your opportunity. Get Chasen Sanborn coffee every time.
Effie Clinker, our little high-riding daughter of the West. Well, how are you, Effie? I'm so very glad to see you.
Oh, Daniel. You mustn't do that.
Say, Don, wasn't that a wonderful ride we three had yesterday?
Oh, I should say.
Hey, you had a pretty lively horse, too. Or were you doing trick riding?
Well, I stayed in the saddle, and for me, that's a trick.
Yeah.
Well, what make horse were you riding?
Well, I think my horse was part Arabian and part roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was jet propulsion.
Well, I think the highlight of our visit here was the square dance last night. And Effie, you knew all the dances from elbow swing to put your pretty foot.
That's right.
Didn't they ask you if your ancestors were pioneers?
No, they asked me if I was.
Oh, yeah, I see.
You know, Ed, I thought I was going to have a dance with Effie, but she gave them all to that lanky cowboy.
Oh, you mean Skinny?
Yeah.
He must have been 6 feet tall.
Well, I guess he would have been if they straightened out his legs.
Yeah.
Say, tell me, Effie, did you like him?
Oh, sort of hit it off.
Yeah.
He called me his saddlebag.
You know, he reminded me of some movie actor.
Yes, I think it was Hopalong Casserole.
Yeah. Did he say he loved you?
Well, he said he loved me as much as he did his horse.
Oh, well, you tell him he'll have to choose one or the other.
I did.
And?
I was scratched.
Poor Effie can find solace in the new taut song, I Should Care, sung by Joan Merrill.
Strangely enough, I sleep well, except for a dream or two. But then I count my sheep well. Funny how sheep can lull you to sleep. Oh, doesn't get me. Maybe I won't find someone as lovely as you. But I should care, and I do. I won't find someone as lovely as you. But I should care, and I do.
Charlie, you've had many thrills this week visiting the scenic wonders here in Arizona.
Yeah. Ain't nature grand?
Yes.
Hello, Edgar and Charlie.
Well, Lynn Berry.
Now, what have you got to say, Charlie?
Ain't nature grand?
Oh, thank you, Charlie. You know, this is so exciting to be surrounded by all these wonderful fellows. They all look so bright and intelligent.
Well, if they're so bright, I don't know why they keep asking me questions all the time.
Well, what could they possibly want to know from you?
Your phone number?
Yeah.
Enough of that, Charlie. Now, you tell me about the wonderful things you've seen in Arizona.
Well, have you ever seen the hand-painted desert?
I saw it right after they put on the first coat.
Oh, you did. Yeah, well, let me tell you about the cliff dwellers.
No, Lynn, if you want to know about Arizona, let me tell you.
No. Let me tell you.
Oh, hello, Doc.
Hello, Lynn. Look, don't listen to these fellas. I am an authority on the subject.
You're always an expert, aren't you?
Well, what are you going to do about it, huh?
Well, I don't know. I wish I could think of something, though.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah. It's annoying, I'll say that.
Yeah.
How do you happen to know so much about it, Doc?
Well, let me start by telling about the petrified forest.
Yes. Think of that. Wood turned into stone.
Ridiculous.
It could happen to you.
I won't do it just to be stubborn. I don't know why, but that man just doesn't strike me as funny. I don't know why. I just don't think he's funny.
Well, you know, personally, I thought it was loaded with wit.
Yeah. Go on. Well, I knew you'd be the first one to like it.
Now, boys, let's not quarrel. This petrified forest, it must be terribly discouraging to the woodpeckers.
You know, Lynn, I could talk 4 hours on ossified trees.
Yes, make a perfect ass of yourselves. Now, would you like to hear about what I saw?
No.
Well, I'll tell it anyway.
That's what I thought.
Now, I visited the cliff dwellers.
Oh, I say, Don and Lynn, just listen to this.
But, Ray, I was talking.
Well, I'm glad I'm not interrupting anything.
Yeah. Ray, what have you been up to?
Well, I tell you, Don, I just got back from a wonderful sightseeing trip along the Colorado River.
Oh, Ray, did you see the Grand Canyon?
Canyon? Canyon?
Well, the river flows right through it.
Oh, yes, yes. Frankly, I thought it was a perfect washout.
Look, let me tell you about what I saw. Now, here was little me, see, traipsing all over the mountains, and what do you think I ran into?
Who? Measles?
No. The Indian village of cliff dwellers.
Well, what in the world were you out doing there with the cliff dwellers?
Lynn, have you tried to get a room in Phoenix?
Yeah. Well, sir, I climbed up ladder after ladder and finally reached the dwellings on the side of the mountain. And had a long talk with the cliff dwellers up there. I must say, we got along very well, too.
You had a long talk with the cliff dwellers?
That's right, uh-huh.
Charlie, the cliff dwellers lived over 1,000 years ago.
Yeah? Well, I get along very well with elderly people.
What I mean is, they're extinct.
Oh, how long since they extinct?
Well, Charlie, what did you talk about?
Well, I walks up to the one house there, and I hear somebody talking inside. And it sounds a little like a powwow, see? So I opens the door, and I walk in. And I say, forgive me, gentlemen. Gentlemen, is this a private powwow, or can I sit in?
Oh, come in, pale puss. We hold 'em Cliff Dwellers Chamber Commerce meeting.
Oh.
Pull up a pow and wow.
Muchas gracias.
Oh, squaw, pretty puss.
Why you want to come to meeting, huh?
Me believe squaw should be represented at all meetings.
Oh, me too.
It's our civic duty. And remember, civic spelled backwards spells civic.
Proceed forward, squaw.
Me believe in equal rights for women.
I'm for them.
Equal rights?
No, for women.
Then you embrace our cause?
Yes, not only the cause, but I squeeze the squaws.
All day long we work in the fields. Look, my hands are red.
Well, they should be red. You're an Indian.
Pipe down, pale puss.
You over there have said very little. Who are you?
I am Big Chief Buzzard Feather in molting season. Yes, I'm the medicine man, you know.
Hiya, Doc. Do you have a good practice?
Well, yes, I do. Only my patients won't pay their bills, you know.
Well, why not, Doc?
Oh, they just don't live long enough.
Say, just who are you?
Who?
You.
Oh, yes. I, Rainmaker, Big Chief Thunderhead.
Oh.
Well, why haven't you brought rain? Our fields heap dry.
I'm behind in my orders. And besides, I'm short on rain.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you put away a few drizzles for a sunny day? If you're out of rain, how about a little sleet?
Sorry, sleet's frozen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. Well, I tell you now, don't bother me. I want to talk here to Pretty Puss. Tell me all about yourself, honey.
Well, before I was married, I was known as Princess Barry.
See, I met an Indian girl around here named Rosalind Barry. They called her Rosberry for short.
That was my younger sister.
Oh.
I'm the elderberry.
We're getting away with murder here. Oh, you're so cute. Marry me and settle down, and I'll live with you here as a cliff dweller, huh?
Yes, but you know our housing problem. If Chief Thunderhead would only move, we could get his apartment.
Yeah? Well, I'll fix that, bum. Hey, Chief.
Yes, Pale Puss.
Let's play a game, see who can lean over the cliff the farthest, huh?
Oh, me good at that. Look, hey, look how I'm leaning.
Whoa, you can lean farther than that.
Okay, here, look.
I'll help you. Here, I'll give you a little push.
Oh!
Bums away. Three cushion shot. Did you see him bounce? He must be a hobby Indian.
You know, you can hardly look at a cup and saucer without thinking of the pleasure they bring you. And here's a way to make sure they never let you down. Stock up this week with delicious, more flavorful Chasen Sanborn coffee. It's the blend with the second cup appeal of flavor you can't forget. Rich in fragrance, richer in flavor, it wins new friends every day. In the past year, more people enjoyed Chasen Sanborn coffee than ever before in our history. And that spectacular swing comes as a climax to 81 years of making finer coffee. It's a genuine tribute to this superb blend. A nationwide hats off to Chasen Sanborn flavor. Call that to mind this week when you're buying coffee, and don't take anything less. You're entitled to all this extra goodness, too, morning, noon, and night. At breakfast, of course, you want that lift of zippy, tangy, wake up and go. And all through the day, with food or by itself, Chasen Sanborn makes the occasion. Enjoy it often. Ask your grocer for Chasen Sanborn coffee.
In the last few days, we have met men who pioneered the flak-hung skies of Europe, and men who have reached down from super fortresses 30,000 feet in the air to put the torch to Tokyo. Their experience has taught the world that the airplane can't conquer men, but it can annihilate industry. An airplane can't occupy land, but it can crowd men's minds. An airplane can't win a war, but the lack of one will lose it. And so we are winning,
behind the spearhead of an Air Force second to none, commanded by a 5-star generals whose campaigns are as many as his battlefronts, and whose forces fight in every section of the globe. They fly the hump, they bomb the Ruhr, they strafe the Germans in Italy, and patrol the skies of the world. From the Horn to Hudson's Bay, from Burma to Bermuda, from the Marne to the Marianas, General Henry Harley Arnold's heroes hold the balance of power. Under the command of General Hap Arnold, the USAAF literally flew off the drawing boards into combat. A pioneer in military aviation since 1911, who was better qualified to command our Air Force than General Hap Arnold, as his triumphant leadership has so lavishly proven? As American wings spread over our advancing armies, let us all take this moment to express our deep appreciation to General Arnold and to the men of his command who carry on in memory of those who have found their victories in the brave blue yonder.
We wish to thank Colonel Lance Call, commanding officer, for a wonderful day here at Luke Army Airfield. Be with us again next week when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Ameche, Ray Noble, Joan Merrill, and all of us will have as our guest Miss Linda Darnell, and will be coming to you from the Marine Air Corps Depot at Miramar, California. This week, when you're buying coffee, think of us and ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. Coffee made to serve in times like these. Stay tuned to this station for the new Eddie Bracken show that comes on right after station identification. Lynn Barry appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, who are celebrating their 30th anniversary. And she can soon be seen in Captain Eddie. This is Frank Barton speaking from Phoenix, Arizona.
These March days, most of us would like to, well, rush the season a bit. We'd like it to be summer tomorrow, with the roses blooming and big red strawberries ready to pick. But listen, you don't have to wait till summer to enjoy a swell strawberry-flavored dessert. Just get hold of a package of Royal Strawberry-Flavored Gelatin. It's really super, as this test plainly shows. 363 women served Royal and another well-known strawberry-flavored gelatin to their families. Both gelatins were in plain, unmarked packages. No one knew which was which. But they sure knew which one they liked better. It was Royal by almost 2-1. They said Royal had the right amount of sweetness, the right consistency, and better flavor. So remember, when it comes to gelatin desserts, strawberry flavor or any flavor, get Royal. Royal gelatin desserts are flavor-sealed, tangier, more delicious.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles, sir.